ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened for you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And for the one who knocks, it is open.
You've got to seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given, and the love come a trickling down. My Lord was born on Christmas. My Lord was born on Christmas. My Lord was born on Christmas, and the love come a trickling down. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given, and the love come a trickling down. My Lord, he died on Calvary. My Lord, he died on Calvary. My Lord, he died on Calvary, and the love come trickling down. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given, and the love come trickling down. My Lord, he rose on Easter. My Lord, he rose on Easter. My Lord, he rose on Easter, and the love come a trickling down. You've got to seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given, and the love come a trickling down. And the love come a trickling down.
I love all the love coming trickling down from the children here. So our first reading is from In the Wilderness by James Simmons. I sit alone on the rocks, trying to prepare a man to teach what the laws of life are. Sunlight and silence, nurses against disease, are busy fighting my infirmities. The life is simple, you could not say rough. A stream, some cans, and firewood are enough to live on. But a hostile shift of weather would bring me sharply up on the short tether of endurance. We haven't survived by strength alone. We have neither fur nor fangs. I will go home just as I rise from sleep, eat, and get dressed. This is one more resort, not last or best. A teacher in the wilderness alone learns to make bread and sermons out of stone.
Oh,
So the Christian reading this morning is from Luke 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus departed from the Jordan full of Holy Spirit and was guided by the Spirit into the desert, where he was put to the test by the devil for 40 days. He ate nothing that whole time, and when it was all over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "To prove you're God's son, order this stone to turn into bread." Jesus responded to him, "It is written, human beings shall not live on bread alone." Then the devil took Jesus up and in an instant of time showed him all the empires of the civilized world. The devil said to him, "I'll give you authority over all this and the glory that goes with it. It has been turned over to me, and I could give it to anyone I want. So if you will pay homage to me, it will all be yours." Jesus responded, "It is written, you shall pay homage to the Lord your God, and him alone shall you revere." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, set him on the high point of the temple, and said to him, "To prove you're God's son, jump off from here. Remember, it is written, to his heavenly messengers he will give orders about you to protect you, and with their hands they will catch you so you won't even stub your toe on a stone." And in response, Jesus said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So when the devil had tried every kind of test, he let him alone for the time being.
I don't like tests. They give me anxiety. Sometimes life feels like one huge test that is made up of a barrage of daily tests, one after another. Every day I feel tested, evaluated, and rejected. Every social interaction, every agonizing decision about what to say, how to act, trying to figure out what the hell people want, let alone what God wants, if one could ever know. At the end of your life, you go before heaven's admission officer. "Sorry, there were so many qualified applicants who did better than you on life's test. You didn't measure up to our requirements. If you believed in reincarnation, you'd have infinitely more chances, but since you're supposedly a Christian, you get one chance. And you blew it. Down the chute to the eternal fire with you. Have a nice day." I would have failed all three tests put to Jesus in the wilderness. Hungry? Have some bread. What's the big deal? You fasted for 40 days already. You can turn this stone into a sandwich. What's it going to hurt this one time? If you want to fast some more, tomorrow is another day. You're hungry. You've earned it. Go ahead. My response? Well, I don't want to disappoint the devil. After all, he offered. What's the hurt? Okay. The kingdoms of the world. Think what you could do with your big heart and your big love for humanity. You could make a real difference. I'll make you the big boss, and you can make the world great. Just include my name in the credits. Don't think of it as selling your soul. Just think of it as fair trade. Give a little, get a little. Go along to get along. One hand washes the other. It's the way God's work gets done. My response? Well, since you put it that way, I guess there's no harm, really. After all, once I do make it to the top and become the big boss, I can really do some good. Okay. What you need, says the devil, is to get your name out there. A little marketing strategy, some branding, something spectacular to get that name recognition. Show the world God's on your side. A little daring do will do the trick. Take a risk, take the plunge, jump from the top. You'll wow them, and God will take care of you. They'll be eating out of the palm of your hand and follow you anywhere. My response? Yeah, sometimes you do have to take risks to show people what you can do. It's all for the glory of God, right? I am just lousy at tests. Sometimes I don't even know when it is a test and when it isn't. Life feels like one big test made up of an infinite number of small tests, and I feel I fail them all. It's a harsh way to go through life. What's worse is that you oftentimes think you are doing pretty good. You passed a test, or thought you did, or maybe you really did, and you say to yourself, maybe I'm okay, maybe I finally do measure up. But then, dang, the pedestal you were standing on to receive your medal bends and breaks, and down you go. Before receiving the reward for passing the last test, you flub the next one, a big red F. Thus we begin the season of Lent, comparing ourselves to Jesus. That is a losing battle. That's why he's Jesus and we're not. Jesus passes tests. The rest of us, One of the functions of the law, or the test, in the theological sense, is to show us that we cannot possibly measure up. We are tested as a reminder that life is not ultimately a test. Life is grace. But of course, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us, life is not cheap grace. Life is not excusing our failure at test taking. Cheap grace is the illusion that tests do not matter. Tests do matter. We fail at them, and we rationalize our failure. That's cheap grace. Real grace comes not as the excuse or the rationalization or by pretending that we are progressive and don't believe all that stuff anyway. Real grace is about honesty. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. That is the paradoxical role of grace. It convicts and relieves. It doesn't relieve without convicting. It doesn't convict without relieving. Thus, we begin the season of Lent with Jesus in the wilderness being tested. I don't like tests. My guess is you probably don't like them either. Real tests I'm speaking about, tests that wrench your heart. I'm not going to say that tests don't matter or that tests are part of a package of old-time, outdated religion. That's between you and God. I'm not going to offer cheap relief, suggesting that failure, yours and mine, is not as bad as the failure of others. I mean, the grade's on a curve, right? No, it's between you and God, not you and others. Country music legend and outlaw bad boy, the late Johnny Cash, said once in an interview that he was a C-minus Christian. I think of C-minus as an aspiration. Now, it's not about comparing me with Johnny Cash. It's me and God. That is my business. Lent is a practice. It is a practice preparing us for tests. Taking on a practice, giving up a pleasure for the season, fasting periodically, say one or two days a week, sunrise to sunset, engaging in a study or reflection that you may not normally do, exploring some inconvenient truth that needs attention, learning about the suffering of another, practicing compassion, all can be practices. Then, of course, failing at what you set out to do is also part of the practice. Then again, maybe you won't fail. Then the test wasn't challenging enough. Lent is bringing to consciousness what is swimming around in our unconscious and messing with us. Maybe clarity is needed. Maybe it's a season to question what's next for you in your relationship with God and with creation. Perhaps it's a check on your moral compass. Lent is not easy. It ain't cheap. It is, however, a means of grace. We are facing looming tests as a human race. We who might think of ourselves as innocent bystanders. It won't do for us to ignore the tests before us, but it won't do not to pray for the means of grace as we face them. Thomas Merton is a means of grace for me. I'm slowly reading through his book, Raids on the Unspeakable, that he wrote in 1967, a year before his death, his martyrdom, as some courageous souls are discovering. Part of the challenge of tests is to be truthful about our myths of innocence in particular. And in the preface to his book, he addresses the book itself in the second person. And this is what he thinks his book is about. And I think it's also perhaps a guide for Lent itself, the task of Lent in shaping our character. So Merton is writing this passage I'm going to quote about the purpose of his book, but think of what he's writing as also the purpose of Lent. He speaks, if you will, to the season and practice of Lent in the second person. So I'm going to leave this as a challenge to all of us as we walk through this season with Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. This is the purpose of Lent. Your main interest, Lent, is not in formal answers or accurate definitions, but in difficult insights at a moment of human crisis. Such insights can hardly be either comforting or well-defined. They are obscure and ironic. They cannot be translated into a program for solving all the problems of society, but they may, perhaps, enable a rare person here and there to come alive and be awake at a moment when wakefulness is desirable, a moment of ultimate choice in which she or he finds herself challenged in the roots of their own existence. Thomas Merton, writing about the purpose of his book, Raids on the Unspeakable, I'm applying it to the season of Lent. Lent through its practice that can raise the consciousness of tests and the grace that accompanies them exists for the rare person to come alive and to be awake. That, my friends, is what I think this testing that I really don't like leads us to become. The testing that is painful and convicting and challenging and frustrating leads to the grace of awakening. Awakening to what? That's between you and God. Amen.
Thank you.
As Jesus was in the wilderness, it was a time of deep reflection. The fast kept his mind open. A full stomach makes it difficult to hear Spirit blowing. One of the ways to create a mini wilderness experience is to stop and take a moment for some conscious breaths. 'Tenat Han provided a practice of breathing. And as we breathe in through our nose and breathe out through our mouth, we might say this couplet. Breathing in, I calm my mind. Breathing out, I smile. Breathing in, I calm my mind. Breathing out, I smile. This is a beautiful moment. So I invite us to go ahead and take a few conscious breaths at whatever pace is comfortable for you. And repeat to yourself, breathing in, I calm my mind. Breathing out, I smile. This is a beautiful moment. There's no other place you need to be in body or in mind than this place, right here, right now. Breathing in, I calm my mind. Breathing out, I smile. The means of grace to face our tests is the breath of spirit. Breathing in, it calms our mind, calms our soul. Breathing out, we smile as we are deeply loved. And in that spirit, with that gift of grace, we name with confidence others who can receive and who are receiving the breath of God.
People in Douglas and Lane counties continue to struggle with the
The Spirit who led Jesus in the wilderness was the Spirit who attended to Jesus in the wilderness, was the Spirit that led him out of the wilderness and to walk to Jerusalem, healing and proclaiming the good news and doing his work. That Spirit calls us to serve, to walk, to love, to be. Let us join together in our communal prayer. Indwelling God, who art infused throughout all existence, we hallow thee with many names. The kingdom is within the human heart. We accept life for all that it can be, on earth as throughout all creation. May we continue to draw sustenance from this earth, and may we receive forgiveness equal to our own. May we ever move from separation toward union, to live in grace with love in our hearts forever and ever. Amen. And now we receive our offering for God's work in this community and beyond.